Welcome to the Tournament Poker Edge podcast, brought to you by TournamentPokerEdge.com, the only podcast dedicated exclusively to poker tournament strategy. Now here's your host, Clayton Fletcher.
Hello once again, everybody, and welcome to the Tournament Poker Edge podcast, sponsored by ACR Poker, where this week it is our last chance to play in the $12.5 million Venom. That's right, the $12.5 million tournament that has the record for being the highest guaranteed prize pool ever to happen on any U.S. facing site. My name is Clayton Fletcher, and I am back in New York City, where this weekend I'll be appearing at Westside Comedy Club. Happy to be bringing you yet another edition of this longest-running poker strategy podcast ever. And today I want to start off by talking about a debate that happened last week. I was talking with some people on Twitter, including Chance Cornith, Matt Berkey, and others about the art of gamble and whether this is something that can be taught or whether it is innate. And it appears that the overwhelming majority agrees with my take, which is, of course, some people are more naturally inclined towards being gamblers or risk takers or having a higher risk tolerance, but that people can learn and people can get better at gambling with practice. So I want to thank those of you who joined in the conversation. You can join our Discord. It's free. There's a link in the description of this podcast, and you can sign up for the TPE Discord and join the conversation. We also have our TPE free roll this Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on ACR Poker, and the instructions on how you can enter that tournament, a $1,000 tournament with a $0 buy-in, will be given in that TPE Discord. Click the link. All right, let's get into it, guys. I want to talk about the hands that we discussed last week from the 2023 World Series of Poker. And before I do, I want to announce or sort of announce that I can confirm I will be doing commentary once again this summer for the WSOP on Poker Go. And though I can't reveal the exact dates yet, I will when the time draws nearer, but I'm very excited to get back in the booth with my friends. Because to me, and this will sound crazy to some of you, commentating on poker is almost as much fun for me as playing. So I'm really excited to make that a part of my summer once again. I just can't wait for Vegas. All right, so we were talking last week about a few hands played in last year's World Series main event, but I want to look at those hands again using a terrific tool called GTO Wizard. Now, this tool, in my opinion, is hands down the single best product on the market to help you improve your poker game right now. So the hand went like this. It was a 1,000 and 1,500 with a 1,500 big blind ante, and it was right after the dinner break. The action folded to Sinren Chen of Taiwan, who raised it up with ace-nine suited, and Nicholas Rigby, a.k.a. the Dirty Diaper himself, the pride of Pittsburgh, called on the button with the seven of diamonds, tray of diamonds, at which point the small blind, Yunye Liu of China, flat-called with ace-queen offsuit, a move that I criticized roundly here on the podcast last week. I felt like this should be pretty much always a three bet. And sure enough, the solver, GTO Wizard, does say that you should be three betting 87% of the time, but it's okay to mix in a call 13% of the time, according to the wizard. So I had to kind of fudge the numbers a little bit in order to actually run this hand through a solver. Many of you know that solvers like GTO Wizard and most of the other products on the market are currently unable to process multi-way pots, but I still wanted to put this one through the solver. So what I've done is I pretended that the small blind folded. Also, it's important to note that Nicholas Rigby's call with the seven tray of diamonds is, shall we say, non-standard. The solver is always folding that hand on the button 100% of the time in this situation. So we're really only going to be able to look at Sin Ren Chen's play in this hand with Ace of Hearts, Nine of Spades, which the solver does open 100% of the time pre-flop. Now, with the flop of 9-4 tray, Rainbow, Lou checked, but we're going to pretend that he was already gone. And so the action would be on Chen, who actually bet. In reality, he bet 7,000 into 13,500, and Rigby made the call. The solver likes the sizing, approximately half the pot, about 42% of the time. It does check the ace-9 about 30% of the time, though, which kind of reflects something I've been learning the more I work with GTO Wizard, which is when we are playing from out of position, we need to be doing a lot more checking than many of us, if not most of us, are currently doing. I think I'm c-betting way too often from out of position, and I'm learning with the help of GTO Wizard when and where I need to be mixing in a check call or a check raise along with all of my check folds on all the flops that I missed badly. So that is something I'm learning about, and you can too, using this amazing product. And we have an affiliate link in the description where you can get unlimited access for 24 hours and 10% off your first purchase of GTO Wizard. And that link is gtowizard.com/p/TPE. It's also in the description of this podcast. I want you guys to get on board with this program. There's still time for you to sharpen up your game and be ready to crush the competition this summer in Las Vegas. So getting back to the hand, 9-4-3 on the flop. Chen bet about half the pot and got called by Rigby. The turn was the five of diamonds, putting two diamonds on the board. And Chen fired again, 22,000 into the pot of 34,500. The solver actually checks this card about 70% of the time and only bets this particular sizing, the larger sizing, 4% of the time, actually preferring to bet smaller when GTO Wizard bets. So I found that interesting. We still have top pair, top kicker, but perhaps with the board straightening out and with a possible flush draw coming in, maybe it's time for us to slow down. That's what the solver is trying to tell us. But that bet got called and the river came the ace of clubs. Chen once again out of position, and now he has top two pair on this board and decides to check it, at which time Rigby shoved for almost twice the pot, about 180% of the pot to be exact. And Chen, possibly fearing the dirty diaper, decided to throw top two pair away. I remember being fairly critical of that decision on the podcast episode from last week. And the solver doesn't like it either. The solver actually bets this river almost the size of the pot about 55% of the time and bets other sizes about 30% of the time, only checking this river just 14% of the time. But when the solver checks this river and makes top two pair and checks it, we are supposed to fold about 83%. So I found that interesting. It's like this guy was betting and betting, and then when he got two pair, he checked and ran screaming into the night. And I think we have to keep in mind that GTO Wizard doesn't know anything about Nicholas Rigby and how he plays. So I think it may behoove us to make more calls against very aggressive opponents. Moving on to our other hand that we talked about last week, we've got Big Uni, Chris Unikin, opening to 3,500 with the ace of spades, 10 of diamonds, and getting called by Corey Dodd in the big blind. Now, the interesting thing about this call from Mr. Dodd is that he had ace-king offsuit. And so the solver loves Uni's open, obviously ace-10, middle position, 100%. But we're supposed to be three betting from the big blind 100% of the time with ace-king in Dodd's shoes. So yeah, we don't ever want to slow play this hand in this situation. Now with 9,500 in the middle, the flop came king of hearts, Queen of Spades, Eight of Diamonds, and Dodd with top pair, top kicker, checked it over to Chris Unikin, who bet $2,500, and Dodd continued the slow play with a call. And so the solver really, really likes the idea of Unikin betting, C-betting with his gut shot to the nuts here. We've got all different bet sizes, but yeah, betting is right, and this bet size is fine. It's kind of equally distributed between like a one-quarter pot, one-third pot, and three-quarters pot, only checking 8% of the time. Now, we can't check Dodd's line because he never has ace-king when he's played this way. So that kind of destroys the entire game tree from the out-of-position player's perspective. With 14,500 in the middle of the turn came the three of spades, and Dodd checked again. This time, Uni bet 10,500 into the 14,500 pot. We noted last week that the backdoor spade draw shows up and that Uni had the ace of spades, which does change how often we bet our ace 10 offsuit. The solver always bets this card with this hand, but actually strongly prefers a 2x pot over bet. About 63% of the time, we're supposed to put in 200% of the pot, only using the sizing that Uni chose about 2% of the time. Wow to that, and also never ever checking. The way things went in real life as opposed to Solverland, there was 35,500 in the middle, and then the river deuce of spades completed that backdoor flush. Dodd checked once more and Uni bet 27,000 into 35,500. The solver again always bets this card, but actually prefers, again, a huge sizing, this time 175% of the pot, 66% of the time, and crazy overbet shoving for 380% of the pot, a staggering 30% of the time. So what this hand taught me is that I know nothing about poker tournaments and how to play them. I don't ever bet 380% of anything ever. At any point in my poker career, have I ever done that? I don't think that I have. So obviously I have a lot to learn. And if you have a lot to learn as well, click the link in the description and learn along with me with the help of GTO Wizard. All right, guys, I want to continue. This is day 2D of the 2023 World Series of Poker main event, the record-breaking 10,000 player field. Blinds are 1,000 and 1,500 with a 1,500 ante now. And Jesse Lonis is in the small blind on a short stack of only 59,000. And the action folds to Jesse in the small blind with the ace of spades, eight of clubs. Now the big blind is Andrew Becker, who's even shorter with just 34,000. So Becker's got about 22 big blinds. I don't know. I mean, with ace eight, I think we can just shove here. I'm sure it's profitable to do so. I don't know if it's necessarily the best possible play in the world. My second favorite choice, I would normally shove. He really can't call as often as he's theoretically supposed to because, well, look, it's day two of the main event. So yeah, I just like to be aggressive in these spots. You know, if you can beat ace eight, I'm about to lose 22 big blinds, I guess. But yeah, I don't really know how else to play this. I mean, I guess you could limp and then go for the shove there. But I don't think Andrew Becker is a very aggressive player. So you're more likely to end up seeing a flop from out of position with ace eight and your opponent with a short stack. Not a terrible set of circumstances for Jesse Lonis, but also not ideal. Jesse does something I probably never would do, and he raises to 6,000 with the ace eight. And yeah, I don't really know. Look, Jesse's a much better player than I am. Probably better than I'll ever be. I mean, he's a very accomplished, excellent, like major up-and-comer. I just don't understand this play at all, especially when I tell you the rest of the hand. Andrew Becker shoves for 34,000 and Jesse throws his ace eight into the muck. So I guess my question for Jesse would be, what is the worst hand that you wouldn't fold? Like, how big of an ace do you need, I guess, to call here? I don't know. I think ace-8 is way too strong, blind versus blind. I wouldn't put myself in that position by making it four bigs and then having to fold for 18 more. As it turns out, and I'm not trying to be results oriented here, Becker actually had A7 off, so Jesse had him pipped. But yeah, maybe Jesse's range for calling off is ace-9 or ace-10, and it's just a semantic marginal spot. I'm not sure, guys, but I just have a feeling this line is exploitable. All right, let's do another one from this same level. John Quattlebaum opens from the low jack with 165,000 in his stack to 3,000. Not going to reveal his hand just yet. Very next player in the hijack is Davis Modans of Latvia, who 3-bets it to 12,500, and his stack is at 205. And very next to act, so it goes low jack, hijack, and now in the cutoff is Joseph Servo in the cutoff with ace of clubs, queen of clubs. And he's got only 33,000 in his stack. Again, just about 22 big blinds. So if you are Joseph Servo and you have seen an open and a 3-bet and you've got ace of clubs, queen of clubs, and 22 big blinds, what would you do? I mean, I think it's fairly close. Like, I don't hate folding in this situation. It's very unlikely that you have both players beat. At least theoretically, the original raiser shouldn't be super wide. And then next to act in the hijack shouldn't be fooling around too often because he still has a lot of players to get through himself. So maybe there is a case for folding. But, you know, John Quattlebaum and Davis Modans have both been very aggressive, very loose at this table. So to me, that would sway me to shoving, which, by the way, is what Joseph Servo did. He says, you know what? I got half a starting stack late in day two of the main event, and I've got two aggressive guys on my right. I'm sitting here with ace queen suited. It's just too strong. Let's push and pray. And it worked out for him. The action folded all the way around to John Quattlebaum, who folded the ace of diamonds, 10 of diamonds, and then Davis Modans can close the action with a call, and he does with ace 10 offsuit. So little did he know that John had already folded ace 10, so he was drawing very, very slim versus Joseph Servo's ace queen suited, and Servo's fortitude was handsomely rewarded with more than a double up versus these two. And these are the spots we really want to be looking at, guys. Unfortunately, tournament poker is mostly about playing between 20 and 40 big blinds for most of us most of the time. Maybe not so much in the main event with any luck at all. But yeah, I mean, a lot of the times when I'll be playing in tournaments this summer, I'm going to have 20, 22 big blinds and have to figure out what to do with hands like ace 10, ace 8, ace queen, given various different kinds of action that can come beforehand. And so I'm doing my homework now so that when the bell rings come June, I'll be ready. All right, let's do one more, guys. This is a really fun hand. In this hand, under the gun is the aforementioned Latvian Modans, who opens for the minimum to 3,000 off of a stack of 167,000, and the action folds to our favorite guy, Nicholas Rigby, on the button with 648,000, and Rigby makes the call. And next to act, we're going to play this hand from our Chinaman friend, Yunye Liu of China in the small blind, and we've got the Jack of Diamonds, Jack of Hearts. Our stack is about 187,000, and I personally would go for a large 3-bet here. It's been opened and called by two players who VPIP well over 50%. Pocket Jacks is a beautiful hand, but we're going to be out of position, so we're in the small blind. Let's put in a big 3-bet. I would make it like 20,000. And I really don't mind if they both fold, but I don't expect them both to fold. Nicholas Rigby, before the flop, straight up does not fold. So yeah, let's make it 20,000 and see if we can get heads up with jacks against this very loose and, shall we say, creative opponent. Instead, Yunye Liu does raise, but he only makes it 15,000, which I think is probably more of a standard size. Both opponents call, and now we're going to be out of position. Hero holding the Jack of Diamonds, Jack of Hearts, And now with 48,000 in the middle, Modans with a stack of just 152,000 now remaining. So we were about 3-1 SPR versus him. The flop comes King of Spades, Five of Diamonds, Trey of Hearts. King, Five, Trey, Rainbow, Hero with two red jacks, and the action is on us first to act. I mean, I think I would go for check here. I guess betting is okay, but I would probably check and hope one of these aggressive opponents tries to represent that king. I'm not checking, planning on folding, although who knows how hot and heavy this pot's about to get. I still think that checking makes sense here, and we need to be prepared to call at least one bet. So that's what I would have done. Instead, Mr. Liu decides to bet 10,000 into the 48,000 pot. So just about 20%, a very small bet. And I think with two opponents, a very strange bet. And perhaps just strange enough to get Davis Modans to lay down his pocket sixes. Yes, I can now reveal that Modans held pocket sixes on King 5-3 and folded, getting almost 6-1 on the flop, probably because he knows Nicholas Rigby is capable of anything, literally anything, and he just didn't want to be involved. He was here to set mine, and that didn't happen. He doesn't want to be sandwiched between these two guys. He just gets out of there, does not call the 10K. So now the action on Rigby, and he min raises to 20,000 with a hand I have not yet revealed. And at this point, this is honestly straight up shenanigans. I don't even care what Rigby has. There's literally no hand that should take this little itty-bitty bet and just double it for fun. I don't know what he's doing, but one thing about the fun-loving and creative playing style that Nicholas Rigby employs is you just really never know what he has. So therefore, you kind of have to go with distribution. I think jacks are too good to fold, getting 7-1, so call feels right. And Liu does call, and now the turn with 88,000, by the way, in the pot. The turn comes the 9 of spades. Liu goes for check once more, I guess. I mean, you make a tiny bet and get min raised. I guess now we check to the raiser. I don't know what's happening. I suppose it's fine. He checks this 9 of spades, which, by the way, did bring 2 spades to the board. And Rigby now fires 50,000 into the 88,000 pot. Hero with pocket jacks on King 5, Trey 9. And Hero with only 150,000 more behind. What are we supposed to do with jacks, guys? I don't know. I guess I really can't blame the guy for throwing his hand away at that point. Although I'm certainly not crazy about that itty-bitty bet on the flop. And I can now reveal that Nicholas Rigby had the 10 of spades, 8 of clubs for the old no pair, no draw, just a ton of heart and a lot of bully in him. So yeah, he took down another one. And this is why it's really fun to watch this guy on TV. Everything he does is, unorthodox, unconventional. And when it works, it's a real pleasure to sit back with some popcorn and watch this guy just run over a table the way that he ran over this one. And that'll do it for this episode. Guys, if you're not yet playing on ACR Poker, I don't know what you're waiting for. I have a great deal for you, though. You can get a first-time deposit bonus, 100%, up to $2,000 by clicking the link in the description of this podcast and using the promo code TPE. Hope to see some of you this Sunday on ACR Poker for the TPE free roll. And for everyone here at Tournament Poker Edge, with special thanks, as always, to our very generous sponsor, ACR Poker, I'm Clayton Fletcher. Thank you so much for listening. I wanna hold them like they do in Texas, please. Fold them, let them hit me, raise it, baby, stay with me. Lock in intuition, play the cards with babes to start. And after she's been hooked, I'll play the one that's on her heart. Oh,
LP. While little gambling is fun when you're with me.
I love it.
Russian roulette is not the same without a gun. And baby, when it's love, it's not rough, it isn't fun. Oh, whoa.